Al, got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can give us a call toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here this evening. And a number of things to talk about, a lot happening in the news, a lot of things that certainly as Christians we ought to be trying to keep an eye on. And also, if you didn't catch it, President Trump had a rally down in Florida, down in Miami, a church in Miami, kicking off an outreach to evangelicals for the coming election. And so these are some of the things that we can talk about here tonight. But in the meanwhile, hope you'll stay tuned. Hope you'll join us online. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, or you can go to Facebook and follow us on Facebook as well at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can find us there, and we have got our YouTube channel up and running, hopefully. I think that's running, and you can find that online. Go to YouTube and search for Live with Pastor Al, or just simply go to our Facebook page and click on the link there and watch YouTube, or you can even click on the link on our regular webpage at livewithpastoral.com. Well, let's go ahead and we'll get to our program here with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in our walk with you, Lord. And we just pray again that you would just bless now. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, got a couple of people calling in already, Lord, and we'll get to them in just a minute here. But just want to remind you, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we have more about that at the bottom of the hour here, and also we will have some other information about the church available if you just go online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and click on the link for the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor, and you can find out more there. Wanted to mention, like I said, there's a number of things happening in the world right now, and one of them, of course, it was kind of nice. I had an opportunity. I didn't get to see it live, but I did listen to the recorded a speech where President Trump was speaking down in Florida yesterday, in his outreach to evangelicals, and it, I guess, quite a turnout, and things going real well, and so I was going to click on the link here to see if I could find the name of the church. I can't remember the name of the church just off the top of the head here, and it was at a Latino mega church down in Miami, Florida. And there it is, King Jesus International Ministry in Miami. And I'm sorry, this was on Friday. I said yesterday. This is on Friday afternoon. The whole weekend's just kind of blending together here. Pastor Maldonado, that's it. Pastor Maldonado had an audience of more than 5,000 people there, and quite a number of other people there, along with the people from the church and other evangelical leaders. And this quite a reception there. And of course, President Trump addressed the attack on Thursday against the Iranian Quds general, Qassem Soleimani. All these names, I'm going to mess them up tonight. General Soleimani, and You know, I agree with what President Trump said. He said, so this let this be a warning to terrorists. If you value your own life, you will not threaten the lives of American citizens. And precision strike, and he was planning apparently some attacks, but a lot of people don't realize, when you think about this, this was not really an assassination. This was more the taking out of an enemy combatant during a wartime situation, because we do have an authorization war on terror dating back to the George W. Bush presidency, but also a lot of people don't realize that the state of Iran declared war on the United States in 1979 when they took the U.S. embassy in Tehran captive. They took the hostages, 52 hostages that they had, and it was really kind of sad watching what took place there. Iran, prior to that, under the Shah, who by no means was perfect, but we had a working relationship with Iran. I remember when I was in Colorado State University, one of the professors that I had there had frequently been to Iran working with some of the scientists and some of the universities in Iran working on wildlife management and researching and looking into the wildlife and the environmental issues in Iran at the time. This is back in the 70s. And he had been there several times. And there was also another professor from, I believe it was the College of Agriculture, I think is who it was from, he was with at Colorado State University, who actually was one of the hostages and had been taken hostage and held there for a time. And I believe he was working on something helping develop animal production, cattle production or something in Iran at the time, helping with their food supply. And so, yeah, we had a working relationship there, close work with the military and different things. And we had bases in Iran. When I was stationed in the Air Force in the 1980s, I knew some people who had been stationed at bases in Iran. There were some remote sites, Iran tucked up against the belly of the Soviet Union, up toward the area of what is now known as Kazakhstan. Well, it was still known as Kazakhstan then. It was one of the states, the socialist states that made up the Union of Soviet Socialist States, of which Russia was the chief state. And we had, or they had their space program down in that area. And so, of course, we had bases in Iran. If you look at it on the map, it's close, you know, puts you in a good area to observe their space program at that time. And so it was quite a blow to our national security interests when the Shah was toppled during the presidential tenure of President Jimmy Carter, and the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power. And they, of course, declared war in the United States. They laid siege to the U.S. embassy in Tehran, captured it, held people hostage for quite some time. And they were there, of course, until President Ronald Reagan was elected. And they were not afraid of President Carter, but they were quite afraid of what President Reagan may do. And so they released him right away. And, you know, when you're looking at that part of the world, they respect the strong horse, as the saying goes, and they do not respect weakness. And, we had a series of provocations by Iran. Of course, they, through their proxies in Yemen, they were attacking a number of Saudi oil facilities. And you say, well, that was the Saudis. Well, Saudi Arabia is an ally of ours right now, rightly or wrongly, they are. Plus, the attack on the Saudi oil facilities was designed to drive up the cost of oil, which, of course, Iran's selling on the black market as a source of revenue to try and help them be able to survive the sanctions without capitulating and giving in. And of course, it was also designed to hurt us financially as well. So a number of things that were going on there designed that. And then there was the downing of the U.S. Military drone. And in both cases, President Trump was kind of ridiculed by those on the left for not striking back forcefully. And with the Saudi one, he kind of left that for the Saudis and such. And with the drone, he was going to have a strike, but then they said it would kill so many people. And he said, that's too many lives compared to what they did. We're not going to do it. And he stopped it at the last moment. And so he showed restraint. Well, unfortunately, they're taking it as weakness. And of course, last week, they killed a U.S. contractor, wounded a number of military personnel, and with continued provocation, throwing missiles our way, and then Soleimani and others leading the riots inside of the green zone, which is supposed to be a security zone, a safe zone around the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, Iraq, and also some military bases and such that we have there. And some of the Iraqi security personnel were told to look the other way, basically, and allow the rioters through. Incidentally, one of the rioters, I'm not going to bother to look up his name right now, most recently had been a guest in the Obama White House. And, you know, in the Obama White House, they decided that rather than sanctions, they're going to send them pallet loads of money. And, of course, a lot of that money is being spent now fomenting terror attacks on the United States allies and their interests in the Middle East and elsewhere. And so when you had the Iranians basically behind these attacks on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, and they didn't just throw a few rocks through the windows. They damaged significantly a portion of the facility, a reception area, and things of that nature, burned and things like that. And, well, President Trump decided a forceful message had to be sent, and we had intelligence that Soleimani was planning some operations that would likely result in the deaths of Americans. I say, well, he didn't do it yet. Well, he was responsible for many others. This guy's an evil man. If you remember back in the late 70s, early 80s, rather, the Marine barracks bombing in Lebanon. Somebody I graduated with from high school was there. I met a man at the nursing home that we go to one time who had been there. And a number of people killed as a result of that. Americans killed. You know, if you ignore what Al-Qaeda did on September 11, 2001, the Iranians, through their proxies, Hezbollah and all, are the biggest killers of Americans throughout from the time of the Iranian Revolution, 1979, till the present time. And if you throw out 9/11, basically, they're the biggest killer of Americans. You remember the IEDs, the improvised explosive devices in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Guess where a lot of them come from? They're thanks to Soleimani and just many other terrorist attacks. He's responsible for thousands and thousands of people dying. Hundreds, if not over 1,000 Americans are dead because of this man. And he was planning events, actions that would take the lives of others. And so President Trump put a stop to an enemy combatant to save American lives. And people say, oh, well, you're going to provoke them now. Well, wait a minute. They were provoked since 1979. They've been at war with us, and they've not rescinded that. And it's just like somebody I online was trying to imply that in the church in Texas where the guy came in with the shotgun and he killed two people before being taken out by one of the church security guards. One of the security guys was killed, and they said that as he was pulling his gun, he might have got caught on his clothing. And in that few moments, the guy, the shooter with the shotgun, was able to kill him. And somebody said, well, maybe if he hadn't tried to pull his gun, he wouldn't have provoked the attack. Well, no, when a guy comes into a church service, sits in the back alongside the wall, gets up with a shotgun, pulls a shotgun out, and starts pointing at people in a church, I don't think a guy on the security team pulling his handgun out is provoking an attack. And it is kind of ironic that former Vice President Joe Biden, and of course Democrat presidential candidate hopeful Joe Biden, had said this past summer that when they passed the law allowing for concealed carry in Texas churches, he said that this was irrational. Well, he was certainly shown that he was irrational to have stopped that shooter within 6 seconds of his first shot being fired. The police were good. The police were there quick. But, of course, as the old saying goes, when seconds matter, the police are only minutes away. And I've got relatives who have been police officers, retired police officers, and I have the utmost respect for police. But they can't do anything if they're not there. And that's where these church security guards and other people within the church that had weapons and were able to react and put an end to the threat before more lives were lost. And sometimes this has to be done. We have to realize that sometimes there are things that take place that we don't want to have to go to violence as the first result, but sometimes it happens, and it's necessary. And so we need to put our trust in the Lord, but at the same time allow Him to give us the means and the ability to be able to resist evil. And there is evil in the world today. The current regime in Iran is an evil regime, and the individual that was taken out last week was an evil man with evil plans. We are in evil times, and I don't use that word lightly. Well, I just wanted to share some of that as we got started here at the beginning of the program. Pray for what's happening there. If we have time in the program tonight, might talk a little bit about some Bible prophecy regarding Elam. And Elam is a place that sometimes gets overlooked in the scriptures. And it is an area of Iran that happens to be, if you look in the Persian Gulf and the sort of central Iran along the Persian Gulf area, was an area that was known as Elam. And there's some interesting prophecies regarding Elam in the Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 49, and we'll get to our callers here momentarily, but in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 34, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet against Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcasts of Elam shall not come. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies, and before them that seek their life. And I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord. And I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them." Now, the sentence continues. I'm going to pause there for a minute. A lot of people say, well, this has been fulfilled already. And they come up with various ways to try and say how it's been fulfilled. But I believe this is a prophecy yet for the last days. And part of it is because as the sentence continues, he says in Jeremiah 49, verse 38, "And I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord." And interestingly, Elam is the only place other than Jerusalem that we see this phrase where the Lord says he'll put his throne there. And then it says in verse 39, "But it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord." And when you see this phrase, in the latter days, oftentimes, typically, it means something that's going to happen in those days approaching the time of the end when the Lord comes back. And so this is something that indicates that this breaking the bow of Elam would be something that would happen in the latter days, something that is going to be taking place, if we're in the latter days, perhaps in our time. And we could, you know, we don't know, but we could see the setting up for this. We might talk about that a little bit more in the program, but you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple of callers already waiting. I believe Jeremiah was first tonight. I'm sorry, Jeremiah. I'm looking at the wrong name. Terry was first tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
How are you doing?
Hey, good evening, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you.
Everybody that's listening in. But anyway, yeah, that's interesting what you're talking about. I read a book not too long ago on Iran versus Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the countries that hates Israel, and that's Iran. They would like to annihilate them.
Oh, yeah, in addition to constantly saying death to America and burning, or at least trying to burn American flags, they're constantly saying death to Israel and burning and trying to burn Israeli flags. And in fact, they shoot off missiles for show that have death to Israel written in Hebrew on them. Why would they put it in Hebrew on them? Well, they're sending a message.
Every time there's a protest, they burn the Israel flags too, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like what they've said before. You know, they call Israel the little Satan, and they call us the great Satan. So
they got a surprise coming to them very soon.
Well, it's interesting that President Trump has said, if you escalate this, we have a list of 52 targets that we're going to take out swiftly. And
that was a good comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's very symbolic. And when you're dealing with this part of the world and this culture, they respect strength, and symbolism is important. And that 52 represents one target for each of the hostages in the American embassy back in 1979 that were taken hostage.
And that Al-Amini, did I say that right? He should have been taken out a long time ago, years and years ago.
Are you talking about the general, Soleimani?
General.
Yeah.
Soleimani.
Yeah, and you know, this guy, he was acting with impunity. And it's interesting, a lot of the media hasn't covered this, but a lot of Iraqis were celebrating when they found out that he was gone, because he's causing a lot of problems in Iraq right now, or was, I should say, as well as in Syria, in Lebanon, in Yemen. I'm sure the Saudi Arabians are not upset with this. We know that the Israelis are not at all upset with what happened. Very supportive statements out of Israel, and Great Britain has been very supportive of what happened. This man was a threat, and you know, people know this. So
not the Democrats, though.
Well, you know, it's interesting, when President Obama was dropping drone strikes on people left and right, they didn't say too much, but here comes President Trump, drops one on somebody that arguably definitely deserved it, and it's going to, you know, in the long run, save lives, I'm sure. And now, oh, he's the most horrible person. It'll be his next impeachment trial. Just watch. Probably in another week or so, they'll have another impeachment trial, even before they finally transmit the impeachment articles to the Senate from the last one that they had. They'll probably do this. They'll impeach him for taking out an enemy combatant in a time of war.
Just a lot of waste of time.
Oh, it's all it is. It's all that it is. And, of course, you know, it's backfiring on them, because the more they've done this, the more his ratings have gone up, and the more money has gone into his reelection coffers, and as well as for other Republicans. So we may see a Republican sweep. I'm praying for it. Republican sweep of the House and strengthening positions in the Senate, and a reelection of President Trump. And it might be one last shot that we have before the Lord comes back. We don't know. But certainly we need to work as if everything depends on us, and pray because everything really depends on God.
That's right. And it'll all come to pass exactly the way he says it.
Amen.
It's coming soon. Even though Lord Jesus comes soon.
Amen. And, you know, this could be the time. Lord could come back this year. And, you know, kind of paraphrasing what I said a moment ago, you know, we should work as if he's not coming back for the next 10 years and pray as if he's coming back this year. So, but, yeah. Hey, we're coming up on the bottom of the break. What else did you want to share with us tonight, Terry?
Well, I was just going to talk about judges a little bit, but if you got some other callers on, I can.
Yeah, I got a couple more coming in already, so and we'll see how we go there. But we can pick up on judges. I actually had other stuff I wanted to talk about tonight, but with all the events that are happening right now with the situation in the Middle East, you know, a lot of people are watching this. Hezbollah, which some people don't realize, is basically, well, it's not basically, it is, it's a part of the Iranian military outreach. It's an organization that they fund, and Soleimani was instrumental in helping orchestrate some of the stuff going on there. And these are active in Lebanon right now. There's a lot of unrest in Lebanon right now. Due to some of the activities of Hezbollah. And, of course, they're all through Syria, and they're making their impact in Iraq. And of course, they're threatening Israel and Saudi Arabia through down in Yemen, where they're working with, what is that group down there? I think it's the Houthis. They're Shiite Muslim that are backed by the Iranians and all. And they've even got some alliances with Hamas, some of the Sunni Muslims in the region, in order to destabilize the region. Iran wants to be the number one power in that part of the world, and we need to pray about them. But thanks for bringing up some of that stuff for us tonight as well, Terry. I appreciate that. And we'll talk with you again, Lord willing, next week, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, and stay tuned. We've got another half an hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here and join in the conversation. Our telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. And, of course, you can always go online to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Find out more about the program, listen to past programs, and other materials that are available there as well. And you can also go from there to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. It's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can also watch some of our programs. We have them on our YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and search for Live with Pastor Al, or go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, and click on the link. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple more things here tonight as well, but I do want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And, of course, you just heard about some of that. There'll be more of that on the end of the program. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza, located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. That's 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there before, mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza. Call for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100. And you can find them in Garfield Heights, across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. We're going to get back to our program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got Nancy up next. Nancy, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. I don't know if you ever listened to Moody Radio. I know some of their doctrine is a little bit questionable. But this one lady talk show host that's on during the dinner hour, I'd rather not mention her name, she had a guest on there, and she was acting like he was a really credible authority on various Christian musicians, so-called Christian musicians. And this man talked about all these questionable rock singers because they had sung certain songs that had sort of a biblical Christian twist to them, like mm-hmm. something in there that would make you think. And I was really shocked. I thought that she was more doctrinally correct. Why would she have a guest on there? I mean, this talk show host, well, first of all, he mentioned Elvis Presley. Well, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. And then Bruce Springfield, I looked him up, and he was mocking Christianity. I mm-hmm. studied him a little bit. And the only one that seemed to be somewhat credible was Bob Dylan. He seemed to be like he's really trying to live a Christian life, but I think his was only for maybe a four-year window. It wasn't even his whole life. And then this man mentioned Lady Gaga because she sang the song Judas, as if she's a Christian. And I just thought it was shocking that she presented this guest as a somewhat of an authority on singers that brought Christianity into their music, and as if they were really sharing Christianity. I mean, to me, if any of these people are Christian, which I highly doubt, except maybe Bob Dylan, they were very, very carnal Christians. But in my opinion, so-called carnal Christians quite often are not Christians at all. You know, they talk as if they
right.
are. So I just wanted to know, what is your opinion when a so-called Christian radio station talk show host brings on a guest like that with all these rock singers that sing maybe one or two Christian songs as if they are credible and they are sharing Christianity, and if they're helping spread the word? I just think it's very blasphemous, in my opinion.
Well, this would be an area where I admittedly am going to be weak in, because I'm not a very musically oriented person, and I don't follow much of the popular music culture. And, you know, I know some of the names and all that, and I know that a number of these people, when they started out, for instance, Elvis Presley, when he was a young man, you know, sung Christian songs in church, it's on the tip of my tongue, the one woman that I think Britney Spears, wasn't she supposed to have grown up in church singing Christian songs?
Oh,
I think it was.
I did hear that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry, and thanks, Craig, mm-hmm. and others. And, you know, I think what happens is, just from some things that I have read, there's money to be made in recording Christian music. And let me give you by way of example. In Christmas time, there's a lot of Christmas songs that are on. The radio is just filled with Christmas music.
Yes.
And you'll hear all kinds of people, including, you know, rock stars and jazz singers and country singers and all types of music recording Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you'll even see people who are Jewish recording Christian or Christmas songs because there's money to be made in it. And mm-hmm. and there are people in the Christian music scene, and I can't give you any of the groups because I don't really follow them, but I have read articles that talk about people in the Christian music scene who are not Christians. They just play the role because it's an easy way to make money.
Oh.
And they learn the things to say, the things to do. That's one of the reasons I don't follow Christian music too much, because not everybody that's in the Christian music scene is in it to bless God and bless the people who listen. They're in it to bless their wallet and their bank account more than anything else.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. And
the contemporary Christian music, to me, is like mixing rock music with Christian. I mean, you just can't do it. It's like being lukewarm.
It's, you know, yeah, oil and water. You know, it doesn't always mix.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so as a consequence, these people are out there. And I do think, just like there's a movement made, I think, to try and Christianize a lot of people after they're dead that never had anything to do with Christ. And they try to come up with ways and things to do it. And plus, you know, you think about it, it's an easy program to do, have some guy come on and say, well, you know, there's a lot of people out there in the music industry. I read an article, and I'm not sure how to take this one, where a bunch of heavy metal rock artists, I guess you can say that, are actually Christians who sing shock rock and rock filled with occultic themes and all that, heavy metal, and they mm-hmm. do it because they make money doing that, but once they leave the stage, you know, they go to church and they serve in their church and they do this and they do that, and I can't think of any good names to give you on that because I just don't follow it enough. I'm just not a big music person. But you know, a lot of people are. I know I'm odd. I don't follow music. I don't follow the big sports games and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I get stuff on Facebook all the time from friends
of
mine.
Because you're a very spiritual person.
Well, just that I didn't.
Those things are worldly.
Yeah, but even before I rededicated my life to the Lord and got into the ministry, I wasn't a sports or a music person even back then. much. Mm-hmm. So it's just those are two areas of my life that, you know, I've tried to learn various music musical instruments. I tried the piano, the violin, the saxophone. Mm-hmm. We had the flutophone in grade school and different things. I never got past Mary Had a Little Lamb. The next one on the list was Three Blind Mice. And I just couldn't handle Three Blind Mice. You know, I just I realized I had no musical ability. I don't mind listening to it. I like in church singing songs, praising the Lord in church. But beyond that, you know, I don't listen to Christian music on the radio, and I mostly listen to talk radio. I don't listen to sports radio. I do too. Yeah.
I do too, but Moody Radio, they used to have really good old-fashioned, you know, the old-fashioned scriptural, doctrinally correct.
Oh, yeah.
There. Now it's all this CCM, Christian Contemporary Music.
Yeah. They used to have Bob Devine on there.
To me, it is so unpleasant and so unbiblical. I don't like their music at all. I mean, once in a while I'll hear something on Moody Radio, but I know there are radio stations because when I'm at other locations that they do have the old fashioned. I don't know if you're familiar with WGOJ in Conneaut.
I think I've heard it when I've been out that way. Yeah, I think I'm familiar with it.
It has really beautiful old-fashioned Christian hymns, but I just thought it was blasphemous for this man to get it. You know, I don't follow the popular Christian artists now because I don't think, like you said, they're out for money. And for him to present these people, which I know from their lifestyle, at least later on in life, that they're not leading a Christian life. And even if they do sing a song that's somewhat biblically correct, when you look at their lifestyle, it just sort of ruins their credibility.
Well, yeah, and that's what the Bible says, by your fruits you should know them.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I think that there's a tendency in some circles. I used to have a friend who just about any time anybody would say, I go to church or I read the Bible or I pray, he was convinced they were a Christian.
I know. I mean, people have a very low standard.
When I was in the Samoan Islands as a missionary, we started a church in the Samoan Islands, and the place where we met, we used to have this dog that was in the neighborhood there who used to come in and stick his head in the services and sleep there. So I was preaching to every creature, the dog, the chickens, the geckos, and different things, and. You know, that didn't make them Christians just because they were there in the church. You know, you can grow up in church and not be a Christian and a born-again Christian. It takes putting your faith in Christ. You know, it takes confessing your sin and believing that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when we put our faith in Christ, that's when we become a true Christian. But some people out there, they want to make everybody a Christian. They walked by a church, you know, their car drove by a church, slowed down a little bit. They must be a Christian. But that's where we had to be discerning, too, when we listen to some of these people. So,
yeah, thank you. You explained that, you know, just a lot of them are out to make money. I think that's probably, although, you know, some of these singers that he mentioned, this so-called expert, might truly believe that they are Christians and they're self-deceived.
So, well, and some Christians...
Some of them are just plain and simple, just trying to make money.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, some Christians start out with the best of intentions singing, but then they get pulled in. They don't want to just be limited to Christian. They want to sing secular songs, and they get pulled into that, and they get pulled further into it, and they compromise and do this and that in order to make the switch from one side to another to no longer be called just a Christian singer.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank you very much. You said you had another caller.
Yeah, got another caller waiting for us as well. But thank you for the call, Nancy.
God bless.
Oh, God bless, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we've got a few minutes left in the program. We got another caller, and I don't know if we'll stick another one in here, but the phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got John waiting patiently for us. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello. I think if we're talking about evil and faraway places, I think we should t- talk about some real evil right here, a lot closer to home. And,
well, and you're right. It's everywhere.
Well, but I don't know if we'll agree on this. There's a site called globalresearch.ca, globalresearch.ca, that has a lot of former, at least a large percentage of their accredited writers, economists, political commentators, and professors who are, and some who are former top officials from the State Department, the CIA, the FBI, and mm-hmm. they got disgusted with the lies and the crimes of those organizations, and they've written some articles for this global research. And among them are people who are pointing out, particularly one article called Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire, Gladio Crimes of the U.S. Empire, that's G-L-A-D-I-O, and Operation Gladio was a code word for a very evil CIA operation, along with another one, Operation Northwoods.
I've heard of Northwoods, yeah, and of course, let me just interrupt here a second there because we are short on time, and I have followed some of these things before. I wasn't as familiar with this site, although I think I have seen it now that I just called it up here. I think I've seen it in the past. We have the CIA, for instance, is a huge organization, and there's a lot of good people in it, but there's a lot of bad people in there that are using it for evil purposes. And it's the same thing with much of our government.
Those two operations were just the quintessential evil because they were very destructive and sinister programs of supporting and perpetrating terrorist operations against Americans, murdering Americans.
Mm-hmm.
During the Operation Northwest plan by the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Pentagon, that was planning to create a false flag frame-up of Cuba to blame all of these Pentagon-instigated terrorist bombings and murders of Americans on Cuba, and then using the American media, which they gloatingly said in this declassified document of Operation Northwest, that they could rely on the media to incite a helpful wave of indignation amongst the public. Mm-hmm. To allow us to massively perpetrate a full-scale invasion of Cuba. And I don't think people know this goes on. The Operation Gladio was the same thing done in Europe, where the CIA for decades was perpetrating terrorist bombings of markets and train stations and public places, and then blame it on the left and the communists because the communists and the leftists were being voted into power in Italy and other European countries. And I don't think people realize when they say they're trying to protect us, yet are covertly plotting to kill us to justify
right.
state measures against us and to attack other countries or yeah. political parties.
Well, yeah, and let me interrupt in here a second, too, because I do actually have a little bit of inside information in this, because in the 1980s, when I was in the United States Air Force, I was stationed in Europe, and I, because of my position, had the opportunity to see a lot of what was going on in my security clearance. And there's, like I said, there's groups that do some of these things. Yes, that's true. But I can tell you, it's a fact that there were left-wing organizations that were funded by the KGB, that were funded around Europe in order to do exactly what you're saying. And I know the classified reports. I handled many of these reports. And
well, I'm talking about the highest levels of the CIA who got disgusted.
Yes, but there were some people in the CIA that were doing some of this stuff. But at the same time, I'm telling you, it's not that it was the entire CIA and the entire policy of the United States government. You know, we have evil that's in all parts of the world. We have evil that's in all governments. And there's a lot of good people that were in the National Security Agency, a lot of good people in the Central Intelligence Agency, a lot of good people in the various military intelligence agencies, the Defense Intelligence Agency, who are trying to prevent that exact stuff that you're talking about happening. thing, but there are people there trying to do some of this.
Tell us about these things. The ones and, tried to expose these things, and they're totally censored. The only ones who were ever constantly...
Well, they're not totally censored. Anybody right now can go online and type in globalresearch.ca, and a lot of this stuff will come up. I'm looking here, Operation Gladio, CIA network of stay behind secret armies. If this was totally censored, why am I looking at it on my computer screen right now?
The reason it's there. You're able to do it is you know the exact name, but actually...
Well, I did it just from what you said. You said globalresearch.ca, I put it in, and then you said Gladio, and I put in their search box Gladio, and it popped right up. There's a whole bunch of
things. I'll explain it to you.
Yeah, well, we don't have time for that right now, and... we're not going to be able to continue with this, but we get. But the problem is, these things are a red flag, and for our listeners here, our caller is trying to bring up things that red flags that in some cases rogue elements within our own government have done, and these things do happen. I don't deny that they happen. Sometimes there are things that take place where our government sets up studies where they do what-if experiments and exercises, and the exercises get reported as if these are actual things taking place. Another big example, bombings within Bologna, Italy. Another thing that happens a lot, too, is I remember in the 80s hearing about these Russian units that were operating with impunity in the southwestern United States. Russian troops wearing Russian uniforms, speaking Russian, driving vehicles with Russian insignia on it, or Soviet insignia on it, I should say, and aircraft and all kinds of things with Soviet insignia on it. These were American military troops that specialized in studying the Soviet Union and emulating what they did, how they fought. They learned Russian, they dressed Russian, they acted Russian, and their purpose was so that our troops could fight against them in exercises to train how to fight against Russians. They had things with Chinese too, but let me bring this to what's the most important thing here, and this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 starts out with Paul writing, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, I'm going to read this a little bit more, but like our caller, I followed a lot of this stuff in the past, and I probably used to be much more closer to our caller's position in the past, but my time in the United States Air Force, having the opportunity to see things that were happening in real time, and seeing how the media spun them, and seeing how the Soviet Union was instigating things, and sometimes trying to get the blame on American groups, and then seeing how there were American and other allied groups that were also doing terrible things, and I'm not going to justify what they were doing, but I used to follow conspiracies quite a bit. I followed them from the 1970s up until the present time, so it's not like I've not heard of all these things. And what I'm getting at is when I rededicated my life to the Lord while stationed in England at RAF Chicksands during the 1980s with the United States Air Force, and seeing stuff that most people would never, ever have a chance to see by virtue of my security clearance and the materials that I handled, there's something that God showed me here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're running out of time, and this is what we don't want to lose sight of. He says in verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And he goes on to talk about the Antichrist here, and he says in verse 6, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed at his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." This is what's happening in the world, and the devil is not going to be able to be successful until we're taken out of the world. When the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's ministry is taken out of the world, the believers are out of the world, and the devil will finally be able to bring some of these things to fruition. Well, we want to thank you for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.